it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. It's Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich with you weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. BetMGMNetwork.com, the BetMGM Network YouTube and Twitch pages as well. Monday Night Football breakdown in 20 minutes. We've got a double dip, a pair of games. Buffalo, Atlanta, Chicago, Washington, case of the Mondays, Monday morning market moves, Monday moons. Where's the room for this doubleheader on Monday Night Football? Also Major League Baseball. Jason Lockefort will drop by as well. Well, Sam, that seems like a good starting point. Game of the day, Chiefs, Lions, two Super Bowl contenders, a bit of a scuffle after the game, and you were in the observation chair. How was it?
I felt good. I made two big bets yesterday. One was on Seattle. One was on Detroit. And our social team decided an hour before kickoff to tweet out who's on what side.
Yeah.
And there's Joe and all his friends. Kostos, Femi, Horvat, PJ, Jenks. And then on the other side is me on the Lions. The only one. And I thought, oh. Definitely going to win this one because now everybody's on the Chiefs. And the injury report wasn't as bad as everybody thought. You know, I had heard in the morning that the Lions were going to miss every defensive back player. And no, they didn't. Branch played. Joseph played. And then Campbell did what Campbell did on the first drive. And I thought, of course. You get fourth and goal at the one, and you want to put the quarterback out wide, illegal formation, and then you kick the field goal. And I'm like, all right, well, that's it. Like, I knew early when you didn't score that first touchdown that it was going to be a long night. And the Chiefs were the much better team.
Oh, yeah.
Not even close. Not even close. No excuses. The Chiefs played better. I think looking back, I'll kick myself because – I took Jared Goff +2 at Arrowhead against Mahomes. Of course, that's a dumb bet. But let me just ask you one question.
Okay.
Do you really think in 60 minutes the Kansas City Chiefs didn't commit a single penalty last night?
Does it matter?
Does it matter? What do you mean does it matter?
Are you saying that the reality is they had enough penalties to make up the 13-point gap?
Didn't say that. I'm just saying.
I know. Like, I'm asking.
After the game, you look at the box score, and the Chiefs had no penalties. That's a joke.
Okay. All right. How many should they have had?
At least three.
Okay. What? I don't see how that changes the result of the game.
Well, I mean, it might have changed a couple of things. And then Kelsey's catching balls that bounced on the ground. And you're just like, oh, okay. Like, you have to beat the Chiefs and the refs, of course. They had 13 penalties last week, and they had none last night.
I thought you were giving the Chiefs credit. Wait, which one is it?
They deserve to win the football game. But, like, come on. Give me a break. Aiden Hutchinson is being ripped to the ground by the left tackle. No penalty. Like, it's stupid sometimes, this stupid league, period.
You knew the Chiefs were winning that game, though.
Like, I knew that, after the first drive they were gonna win the game. Yes, agreed.
When I saw that release from the social team, for a brief moment, I had the same thought. I'm like, oh, I would rather be on the side where I'm by myself, going up against everybody. No Evans, no Chelsea, by the way. Right? We didn't see them on that image.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, I would. Well, Evans didn't get a pick in. I would rather be on that side always. You know how we roll on this show. But we also understand that that didn't represent reality because the Lions were number one in the room on Friday. The Lions consistently were one of the most public plays of the week. They were the public dog in the NFL. You've got to give the Chiefs credit and how this offense has been rolling over the last few weeks. Goff ends up with less than 200 yards. Like, we could talk about missed calls here, missed calls there, dumb decisions by the head coach, this and that. Like, no, the Lions offense has to do more. And this Lions defense that was favored, you know, by some metrics, when you look at when they've played the good offenses, they have not done well. So that's a concern. And yeah, I agree with you. When the safeties were questionable, I'm like, this is the Chiefs Sunday Night Football. They're playing in this game. There's no doubt about it. They were missing some other pieces on defense, and they were missing their left tackle as well, which certainly hurt. But guess what? The Chiefs were missing their left tackle. So against, if you look at the top offenses that the Lions have played, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Packers, they're giving up 29 points per game. So they've done well against the poor offenses, but not so much the ones at the very top. Lions not a bad team. I mean, we all understand that. They're going to bounce back and they'll be just fine. But it did feel like that was a cheap spot in that game. And it was, and the line kept pointing in that direction. It closed -2.5. We weren't even there at that point when we closed up shop on Friday. And then I was like, and it was actually juiced at some spots. I'm like, seriously? We're not going to get a Detroit +3, are we? I didn't think that was going to be the case, but you could tell that that's where a lot of the money was. And the Chiefs are 3-3, and here's Rashee Rice. He's coming back now. And you saw the impact that Worthy made once again. They're dangerous, man. And part of my handicap, I didn't feel like Spags' defense was going to have another rough game after Monday night against Jacksonville. And we know they're not that good. But for them to have another rough game, I think that was going to be a tough call. So, I mean, huge result. That game was big. If you look at the updated numbers, let's see. Did the Lions number float? Not really. I mean, the best you're going to find is 9-1. And then the Chiefs dropped some. I guess the big change, Sam, is just like the order. Like, the Chiefs are the second favorite when they were more like the fifth or sixth before last night's result.
Yeah, so BetMGM has the updated AFC odds right here. Bills 2.25, Chiefs 4-1, Colts 7.50, Chargers 8, Broncos 9, Ravens 12. Ravens with one win at 12-1. But Lamar's coming back.
There's also 20s on the Ravens, isn't there?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, these are just BetMGM odds. And then to win the Super Bowl, Bills 5-1, Lions 7, Packers 8, Chiefs 8, Eagles 10, Rams 15, Colts 16, Broncos 18, Chargers 18. So that's a lot of numbers to throw at you right there. If I talk too fast, go to that Odyssey app and hit the rewind button, and you'll move back 10 to 15 seconds. look, they're dangerous. They're always dangerous. Until you knock them out, they're going to keep breathing and keep fighting. I felt like it was sort of like pushing a boulder up a hill, though, like for most of the game. And that's fine. If they can run the ball like this, I'll be very honest with you. If the Chiefs can run the ball with the physicality that they ran with yesterday, they're going to be very difficult to stop. Because then you open up all the dangerous play action looks. You open up Mahomes taking off with his legs. You open up the deep field stuff. I mean, they came at you and got, you know, 4 yards per pop on the ground, which isn't great, but it's better than it's been. And they're starting to find their rhythm. Pacheco, 12 carries. Hunt had 6. Mahomes ran 10 times. They had balance, Joe. That's the name of the game. The offense had balance. And I never felt like I was going to get a stop to get off the field. 30 pass attempts, 29 rushes. That was a brilliant game plan by Andy Reid.
We were both on Seattle all week. We called it early, and that was one of the few games I felt that was never really in doubt. They are better on the road. It's amazing. When you look at McDonald since he's been there, 10-1 straight up on the road. They bounced back from last week's high-scoring loss to Tampa Bay. They have a terrific performance on the road. Jacksonville, they're feeling high and mighty after that Monday night win over the Chiefs, and Seattle takes them 20-12. They actually closed Seattle as a short favorite, but it felt like all the respected money was in on Seattle all week. That never changed, and the result was there. Perfect on the road so far. JSN, man, he's got a real shot at Offensive Player of the Year. Goes for 162 yesterday. He now leads the NFL with 696 receiving yards, and you get the Puka injury. We have to wait and see how serious it is. He did return to the field, but they didn't throw to him. It was more of a decoy situation for Puka, but Seahawks are scary. They're really scary sitting 4-2 on the season.
Yeah, I'd rather have Seattle stock than Tampa stock. I think we had this conversation a couple weeks ago. I know Tampa's got a better record, but I don't think Tampa's a better team. They've just had insanely efficient fourth quarter play from Baker Mayfield, who, let's tip our cap again, did everything necessary to win another game late. I know we're going to hear from Baker later in the show. Baker Mayfield now, you can find as low as 4-1 to win the MVP. The pecking order there, Allen, Mahomes, Baker. Insane quarterback play by Baker. And they continue to find ways to win close games. And that is the definition of valuable. How well do you play? How high do you turn it up in the fourth quarter? I think he's been honestly better than Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Over the course of the season, very small window so far. We still have a long way to go. But in the fourth quarter, game on the line, he's been the best quarterback in the league so far. And I couldn't believe yesterday that when the Bucs got in victory formation to take the knee, they have one loss this year. That was the first time they've been in the victory formation.
Oh, wow, that's true, because of all the two-minute drives at the very end. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I hope Ibuka's not seriously hurt. He's dealing with a hamstring now, and the most incredible part with Baker for me is he's doing without Evans, without Godwin, without his productive running back in Bucky Irving. It doesn't matter. Without offensive linemen, it doesn't matter. Like, we spend all this time, oh, we got this injury, that injury. It doesn't matter who he's working with. He gets it done. He finds a way to get it done. The Ibuka stuff would matter if you have an Offensive Rookie of the Year ticket or one on somebody else, because he's had an amazing season as well. Last week we said on this show, right now, if you're holding a vote, my vote is for Baker. You said the exact same thing, and we said, but we're not going to bet him at 12, and now he's 4.
Nope.
Everybody's talking about it now. Everybody.
We did not corner the market on Baker Mayfield. I think I've cornered the market on Heisman Trophy, not on NFL MVP. I actually don't even have an MVP bet right now. My offensive player, I thought Christian McCaffrey was a good look. And again, he has over 100 yards. He has a touchdown last night. But that poor team, man. Now, Mac is hurt again. Fred Warner is going to be out for the season on defense.
They're done, man.
McCaffrey is going to be the only pirate standing at the end of the day. Like, that ship is going to arrive to the port, and it's just going to be McCaffrey going, yarr! Like, that's it. Like, that's the only guy that's good that's left on San Francisco right now.
So I have a JSN 50-1 ticket. It's down to 5-1, 5-6-1 range. Third favorite behind Jonathan Taylor and Puka. We'll see if Puka misses any time. If he does, that obviously helps my ticket. Puka has a shorter number than JSN right now. Jonathan Taylor's tough, man. Tough. Colts win again. I was keeping a very close eye on that because I had some survivor spots on them, and I was disappointed in that team. They end up winning, happy with the result. The defense is very questionable. Brissett converted third down after third down, ends up with 320 passing yards in your house. I don't know if they weren't taking them seriously, kind of overlooking Arizona with all the turmoil and backup quarterback here, injured players. Marvin Harrison leaves the game in the second quarter. But, yeah, you win. It was an unimpressive performance out of Indy.
Bartender came out Saturday night, two-unit double banger. Colts minus 7.5. So he gives two back. A 6-9 season so far for our favorite bartender.
CLV for him.
He did. He did give 7.5 out on Saturday. That number touched 10 yesterday morning, and they just kept betting the Colts, and the Colts did not cover. Last thing in our first segment, the story of the day in college football was The Room and Brian Gerch taking down Oregon. Oh, baby. Indiana, big boy football going into Eugene and knocking off the Ducks outright.
Here, I thought you were going to say the big story in college football was one James Franklin getting fired. No, Gertz. What Gertz did with 10 toes down. Let me remind people, we need the audio of this, by the way. We've got to go back and get this. He called Indiana's Big Ten season winless. 0-9. What was the game he was upset after when they won by like 50?
Indiana State, 77-0.
He was mad because of their defense, and they didn't give up a point. Okay, we'll talk more about that coming up. Joe O, Sammy P, Monday Night Football preview next on the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fail Mary, Joe O, Sammy P, it's BetSweats, BetMGM Network. I think that will be covered a few times tonight in the Bears-Commanders game. We've got two Monday Night Football games, and remember, they kind of overlap each other. The second game starts an hour after the first game. Let's start with the later game, because I think that's the one that has big storylines, young, potentially star quarterbacks. I think most people would label one as a star. We're waiting and seeing on Caleb Williams. It's the Bears and the Commanders. And Sam, we can get into the storylines and matchups and all that. But the lead for us on this show, there's no doubt it's about the number. I was shocked to see this jump a full point on Sunday morning. And I've been trying to rack my brain about what it is. And I think I know what your response will be on what it was. But we sit 4.5 all week. And then on Sunday morning, day before the game, day after the final injury report is out, it goes from 4.5 to 5.5. We're sitting a total of 49.5, a smidge lower than where we were throughout the week. So what's going through your brain when you see the Commanders jump up to 5.5 point favorites?
I didn't expect this move, especially considering you're not going to have Terry McLaurin out there for Washington or Noah Brown. Both of those guys are out on the Commanders injury list. So I guess buckle up for Luke McCaffrey down the field. You also have Debo questionable. So that's the Commanders injury report. As much as we love Jaden Daniels, Noah Brown out, Terry McLaurin out, Debo Samuel questionable. Yet the line is moving towards the football team, formerly known as the football team. A little surprising, but money talks. It's not like the Bears had this really bad injury report either. I mean, you got some guys that are questionable, but nobody really that crazy. Although I did not expect to see Cairo Santos on the injury report. That's a little strange. Participant Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but he's questionable.
The Bears injury report was good. That's why I was surprised by it. So, like, they had the bye week, and they got healthy. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but right tackle, Darnell Wright, good to go. Guard, Jonah Jackson, looks good. The secondary has been beat up in the first month of the season. Now Kyler Gordon's okay. Jaquan Brisker will be out there. Linebacker T.J. Edwards has missed some games. He's going to be on the field. So the only notable thing, and he really hasn't been that good, defensive tackle Grady Jarrett, he's out of this game. Colson Loveland, who's done next to nothing anyways, the rookie tight end out of Michigan, he's questionable. Okay, injury report, I would say it's much more positive on the Bears, but we got that on Sunday afternoon, I believe, and then on Sunday morning we see this line move. So, you know, it's respected money. Somebody came in on the Commanders, and then part of my brain is like, are they trying to get to Bears plus 6, and then they're going to come in on the other side? I don't know. It was impressive what Jaden Daniels did last week without these same receivers, so what is he going to do this week? But that Debo question, boy, if he's not out there, that'd be something. I'm curious about Ben Johnson, man. First time as a head coach dealing with the bye. You've had 15 days now between games to prepare for this defense on the road. What is he going to have? That's what I'm most interested in tonight, especially on the script. Let's see how creative he gets here as they went back to the drawing board, kind of doing that self-evaluation that you do during the bye week. I can't wait to see what the Bears come out with offensively.
So in my pick five, I went 2-2 this weekend, and my last one is Commanders, which in our pool is 4.5. Feel okay about that, laying 4.5 when the number's 5.5 now. Not that I think the game's going to land 5, although that would be kind of funny if it did land 5.
Yes.
I was talking with Ed Sammons a couple weeks ago, and he's like, oh, 5 is more common than 4 now. And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess they did some study on how games land now, and more games have landed 5 than 4, which I didn't know. I don't study how games land, and maybe I should. But if it lands 5, that would be very interesting. I think a lot of the Chicago hesitancy is that they've, you know, beaten two bad teams and probably, you know, should have beaten the Vikings but didn't. And then the only really good team they played so far, they got absolutely pounded on the road. So maybe that's a part of it. You know, J.J. McCarthy rips your soul out week number one, and then you go to Detroit and lose 52-21. Then you beat the Cowboys, who were banged up. CeeDee Lamb gets hurt in the game, and then you barely beat the Raiders because you block a field goal. And we know the Raiders stink. So maybe that's it. I mean, you asked, why are they betting Washington 4.5? I don't have that answer. I liked it at 4.5. At 5.5, obviously, I still kind of lean that way. I'm not going to, like, get off the game because it's moved the point. But I think there's people that think Jaden Daniels is going to just go crazy on this defense. But you just brought it up. Their defense is healthier than it's maybe been in a while. So I don't know. I can't wait to watch it. And again, a rematch of Caleb against Daniels should be a fun one. I know which game I'm watching tonight. It's Chicago-Washington, not the first one.
Yeah, you'll definitely watch the first one, at least in the first half, and then which one will grab your attention the rest of the way. It's a cool young quarterback matchup. Looking forward to that. Caleb against Daniels, and we got it last year too. So let's see what it looks like. I lean Chicago now. I've been torn and flip-flopping on this game throughout the week as far as like our picks. Like, we do an ATS contest together. It did not crack my top five. The other game did, which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, I lean to Chicago at 5.5. I'm waiting to see if it gets to 6. I'm not sure that we're going to get there because you know you're always going to get Chicago money anyways, and we're not juiced at this point. A lot of books, 5.5 at -110, but an interesting move. That's also a fascinating nugget that more games are landing 5 than 4 because it does matter. Like, they track that very carefully because we know about 3 and 7 and 10 at times, but I'm sure that's changed. 11, there was a game that landed, I think, 11 yesterday. So that's pretty interesting. You would think that, oh, 5's a dead number historically, but maybe not now with the way teams go for 2. So Bears Commanders, Sam is on the Commanders. He leans at 5.5, but, you know, he's not saying to go jump and get it. He liked it at more, at 4.5. And I would lean to the Bears side. I want to see if this thing gets to 6. On the Bills and the Falcons tonight, we've got, 4 coming down a hair. We're at the total of 50. Yeah, the Bills, a 4-point road favorite coming off the Sunday night loss, so they get another primetime game. And the Falcons are coming off a bye. Similar spot to the Bears, where we're talking 15 days between games, so you have all this time to prepare. Let's see what ends up happening. Injury-wise, Dalton Kincaid is questionable for that Bills offense. Sam, that's big, man. I know in the previous years, maybe Kincaid not as involved as some Bills fans wanted. A lot of the offense has been going through him early on in the season. Defensively, Matt Milano is out. Mooney out for the Falcons offense. Falcons pretty healthy. Bills more injured, and the defense did not look great last week.
I promise you I will be tuned in this afternoon to Shope and the Bulldog on WGR in Buffalo for an anytime touchdown bet because those guys have rock solid. Granted, this is a Monday game, not a Thursday game, but they've been able to pick the needles in the haystacks in terms of finding some obscure player to score a touchdown. So I will be locked in for that. I talked with those guys on Friday. They were very curious about the game, and I said I sort of leaned to the over. I think you have the ability to get a shootout in this one because I don't really trust either defense at this point in time. And you mentioned some of the names on Buffalo. Matt Milano, I feel like, is questionable every week of his life. And you said he's out. He's not going to play. We know Oliver is a little bit banged up on the defensive line. But also, I think you have a bunch of weapons in this game on both sides of the ball offensively. You just need that first horse to cross the goal line, and I think we could be off to the races. So we have seen some fighting on the total. Westgate opened this total last week at 50.5. It got bet down to 48 early in the week, and then shoved right back up. Now we're at 50. Most books have 50, including BetMGM. So they bet it down to bet it back up. I know some guys that were part of that move over 48 and 49. I respect them. You could find a 49.5 at a couple places, but that's a pretty telling move, right? To fight it down and then blow it back up. So I think that's probably a true move, and I do like a lot of the weapons. I like both quarterbacks. Obviously, I like Allen a lot more than Penix, but I feel like Bijan Robinson is a problem for Buffalo to stretch it outside, to work the boundaries. So I think of the two games, they're both totaled at 50, give or take. I like the first one to go over more than the second one.
Bijan's going to be in the room when we do that later in the show. With the five player props between the two games, there's no doubt about it. Oh, man. 73.5 are the rushing yards. I know he does a good deal in the passing game as well, but that seems a bit light. 110 and a hook on rushing and receiving, -170 to score an anytime touchdown. That's the cheapest price that you can find. So the expectation is that Bijan has a big game. +333 over at BetMGM for 2+ touchdowns. So, yeah, not a ton of value. Expectation that he's going to have a monster game in this one. I like the Bills. I like the Bills -4. The money going against me right now, which is cause for concern. I don't know if it's get right spot, whatever, but you're right. That matchup is scary if you're going to be back in Buffalo, because you would expect Atlanta to be able to run all day. EPA per rush, they are 28th in the NFL, and you have one of the best rushing attacks in the league going at it in this game, coming off a couple of weeks to rest up. Why would they hold back with Bijan? I could also see what you laid out, your case on an over where you have a high scoring affair. Last night's total, very high. That one was a clear under game. Goes under by about 6. And we've got two high totals tonight. Do you have any interest on the Commanders-Bears total?
No, I don't. Now you got me nervous that the Bears are going to win outright, though.
Why? Nervous?
I don't know. Yeah, because you got me. You put me in the chair last night, and I haven't recovered mentally. I think that's why.
I didn't put the people put you in the chair. I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready. My legs are dangling, buddy. I'm ready for more pain tonight.
I don't think you're going to be in the chair on this one. I don't think they're obviously betting the Commanders. And Commanders are also popular. People like to bet on the better quarterback. Bills will be. That's one of the, at least it was on Friday, one of the more popular. I think it cracked the top 5. The Bills would put you in if you were on that side, but you're not on that side. You're laying it with Washington. I haven't heard one person in the betting space talk about this game and not say they're betting Bill props. Not the Bills. I'm talking about McCroskey Merritt. Like, everybody's talking about him. I don't know about that. It's an easy matchup. I get it, going up against the Bears defense. But I don't know. Those numbers keep going up.
Okay, so just a quick comment in our show chat. Gertz is saying Santos stinks.
Okay.
I kind of like Santos props now. I'm just saying.
Just based on that comment.
Just based on what we've learned over a very small window of time in the room, if Santos stinks, how about 4-for-4 on field goals? What's the prop on Cairo Santos points tonight, Joe? Feed me.
I'm looking. I can't find any right now.
Because he's hurt. Ridiculous. He's questionable.
We'll put him out there. I'll still bet him. He's going to play. He's playing now. It's confirmed.
Oh, my goodness. He's going to have 12 points tonight.
Yep. He's in.
There we go. I mean, 6.5, according to our graphic. 6.5 points.
It's over. It's an over game.
What if the room comes in and says Santos under on points?
Oh, I will account play. Account. Jim Fossil. Chips are in. Yes, let's go.
All in.
Yeah, I would be it on that. Are you doing any props outside of
what Santos our guys over? Have-
Santos over, WGR touchdown, which we'll share on social media. Whatever one they cook up in their lab.
Nah, not much. I love this Commanders position at 4.5. I do. Not just because it's okay. Moved the point, but I thought that was always going to be a play for me, and I got there mid last week, and here we go. I think Daniels has a monster day.
That would make sense. And if Debo is in, yeah. 57.5 receiving yards for him. 6.5 rushing yards are his number. So if Debo's in with these other guys out, once again, I would look that route. Anytime touchdown, that would be doable as well. That's plus money, plus 130 for Debo. All right, Joe O, Sammy P on the other side. Case of the Mondays. This is the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. We go positive, we go negative on Monday mornings. It's time to go negative. Later on, we'll do Monday moons, 11 a.m. Eastern. I might be losing my magic touch, Sammy, because I'm looking at it this morning. I'm like, I'm feeling positive. It was a good weekend. Some good stories across the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball as well. That's quietly continued into the CS. But I have more things for moons than Case of the Mondays. But, of course, we have a few things that bothered us over the weekend. Why don't you start us off? Case of the Mondays, where are you at?
I have a couple appetizers and then a main course. So okay. I'm going to get through the first part very quickly. I have a lot of money on Toledo over this year and Toledo to win the MAC. And Toledo has now lost 17 times outright as a favorite since 2021. And I was warned about this before the year. Don't trust that coach. He finds ways to lose games they should win. 12 of those 17 losses have come as a favorite of at least 7 points or more. That's bad, man. I mean, that's not going to get you over your win total. Now, they could still win the MAC, of course. But, I mean, coming in all summer saying, oh, Toledo's going to win 10 games. No, they're not. So that was not something that I was very proud of to see again Toledo losing as a massive favorite. I believe that's the second time in the last 3 weeks because I know they lost, to Western Michigan 2 weeks ago. The spread in that game was Toledo minus 19, and they lost 14-13. So that's two losses in 3 weeks where they're a massive favorite and lose outright. Home. Toledo now 3-3. So that stinks. Number two, I'm so tired of like the AP poll people that cry about the rankings. Who cares, honestly? But yesterday, it's all the Illinois fans. Well, we beat USC. Why are we not ranked? USC's 21st. Shut the hell up. You guys were outclassed by Indiana by 53 points and then never had a chance against Ohio State. Probably should have covered the game. You didn't turn the ball over a million times, and you have your punter knee before he punted the football. That was a maddening loss. Can you tell I had Illinois plus 14.5? Mm-hmm. Just brutal. Turned the ball over a million times, looked out of sorts, and then still had a chance to go in the back door. But I got to read all these tweets about, oh, Illinois has better wins than USC. No, they don't.
Morons.
No, they don't. They beat Duke in a game that Duke turned it over 5 times, and they beat USC. But USC is a better team than Illinois right now. They just are. So I mean, I don't care about the top 25, you know, crybabies. Just win the games you're supposed to win. Period. That's it. And then number three, last one. Look, I'm a big McAfee guy. I love their show. I think they do a lot of awesome stuff. But do we have to see Pat McAfee take his shirt off every morning on game day? I mean, I'm tired of it. Like, every time I turn the TV on, he's got his shirt off or he's taking his pants off. And I just don't – I know what people are going to say. Oh, have fun. Live a little bit. I have fun. Anybody who knows me knows that I have fun. I don't need to see grown men take their shirt off on television every week on a college pregame show. Him and Lanning are out there, nips out. I don't want to see it. I don't care. It's 9:45 in the morning. I'm trying to have breakfast. I don't need to see Pat McAfee and Dan Lanning with their shirt off. Like, I just woke up. And then, of course, McAfee, after hanging out with Lanning, picks Indiana, and Indiana wins. So that was a nice moment to flip on the guy who you took your shirt off with. But enough's enough. I don't need to see him dancing on the desk with his shirt off every single week. It's enough. I've seen enough. I no longer crave to see Pat McAfee shirtless.
This might surprise some people that talk to me off air. I don't love the swearing. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I was brought up in this business and how we stay away from it. And I know how things have changed. And sure, I do podcasts, whatever, where I'll do it because I know you can do it. I don't love it on a Saturday morning. I have to be honest. It's a lot. And like when I've been in a situation where I've watched it with older people, game day where it's on in the background, you know, whatever. It's kind of cringy for me. Because, like, I'm in the media space, and I'm no Pat McAfee or whatever. It's like, and then I have to represent the media and kind of explain how things have changed and why that's allowed right now. And as children are walking in the room, I'm like, it feels forced, that part, at times. I understand your complaint about the nips. I just wanted to add that's just, I don't love that about the broadcast.
No.
Maybe I'm just old man. I'm just an old man at this point, but yeah.
Well, it's and like, then you got, and then Desmond Howard's new role on game day is to just go, like, that's all he does now.
Hasn't that been the case for 20 years?
McAfee says something outrageous, and then Kirk goes, like, Home Alone face, and Desmond goes, and it's just the same show every week. They just change the location. That's all. Maybe I'm not having fun anymore. Maybe it's a me thing, but I don't keep your shirt on. Just keep your shirt on.
No, I totally hear where you're coming from. I like it. Good stuff there. I saw that Champagne Room guy tweet yesterday too. I was going to put it on you, but you put it out there first. Like, what is wrong with your Illini people? Like, they're equating Illinois' performance this year to Notre Dame. Like, seriously? Like, did you see who Notre Dame lost to? And did you see that Notre Dame did not lose by 71 combined points in those two games? Hello? Like, come on. What are we doing here? So silly. Plus, some people have the pom-poms out, no doubt. All right. Let's go to college football. And on one level, I'm relieved. On the other level, I'm pissed off. And I know throughout the week we talked about it. And I think we kind of talked about it in a joking way. What if Penn State loses to Northwestern? There's no way that, but in our minds, there's no way that could really happen. We don't think it's going to happen, but what if you've got to fire them? So I shoved Penn State. Team sucks. Situation sucks. But I'm like, there's no way that you can lose in that program at home, back-to-back week, straight up, favored by more than 3 touchdowns. They found a way. I couldn't believe it. I'm kind of relieved because we know how the college football survivor goes, that it's going to be 800 people splitting it. But 73% were knocked out of the Kelly and Murray pool because of, in part because of Penn State. I decided to shove on Penn State right back in my face. So they suck for that. Case of the Mondays on Penn State, as far as that goes. I didn't have much on the game, but I've got a couple Jets things That bugged me. And I think most people were watching because it was on. I don't know that they enjoyed it. It was bad football. I know you were watching it when you were on the air in the second half. I was watching it when I was on the air in the first half of the game, Sunday mornings right here on the BetMGM network. We're on two different pregame shows. I've got two Jets angles. One, the Fields truthers, it's time to stop. I'm still hearing this yesterday. Even on the show, like it was brought up, oh, bad situations. At what point is it on the quarterback? So we're just going to say that until his career is over. Oh, he's always in a bad situation. Guess what? Bad teams need quarterbacks. That's why he keeps getting opportunities in those situations. And he was on one of the better coach teams in the league with the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. And he had some weapons, and he still sucked. Justin Fields yesterday, 9 completions, 9 sacks. 9 completions, 9 sacks, and in the final minute of the first half, his offense had 1 total yard. I don't care who's on the other side. Justin Fields sucks. It's time to move on and just give up that you were wrong when he was coming out of Ohio State and you thought he was going to be a real good quarterback, or when he was a rookie with the Bears, you thought this was the guy. No, not the guy. Failure, bust. It's over. Stop with the Justin Fields stuff. And his head coach, Aaron Glenn, you brought this up a couple weeks ago. I kind of chuckled at it. It's not crazy. We've seen enough to know that he's not the guy. You might have to fire this guy after 1 year. I don't know what the hell they were doing. They complete a pass in the final minute of the first half. They're around midfield. He has a timeout, and he decides to let the whole clock run out. Garrett Wilson's over there on the walking to the tunnel, yelling at him. What the hell are you doing? He's just decided, nah, we're good. We got to midfield against this defense. We're not going to use a final timeout to even try to score a point in the first half, another point in that first half. So I guess a Jets angle there. The Fields truthers and Aaron Glenn, he's got to go. He ain't the dude. Good luck, Jets, with finding your next head coach. Want to throw them out there for Case of the Mondays.
I guess one of the fancy talkers gave Aaron Glenn coach of the year. I don't think that's going to hit.
Way. Who did? A fancy talker?
One of the fancy talkers. Yeah, gave Aaron Glenn coach of the year.
So that was the Australian. Yeah, there's no doubt.
So I talked about this all week, Broncos teasers and Rams teasers, and the Broncos leg was -1.5. Having to sweat that live on the air was maddening. They got home, but barely. And then, of course, the Ravens just got clobbered. Not clobbered, but the Ravens stink, as we know. But sweating out that Denver -1.5 teaser leg... 13-11 when you're laying 1.5 in a teaser is high quality drama, if you know what I mean.
I don't love the international games. We're fine without it. And we can get into this too, because Paul brought up the point, and I thought it was fair. The afternoon slate sucked yesterday. So this is what happens. You have 2 Monday night games. You've got to have a Sunday morning game. And now we have very few options for the late afternoon. And the games were not great. Like, I was kind of like, I started doing laundry. Like, these games suck.
Here's the problem, though. Most people watch it all. You just get sucked in.
I know. It's our job. But yeah. Well, we have 3 more international games, including next Sunday morning. All right. Joe O, Sammy P, Jason Lock on 4 on the other side. BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.